A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
We kick off hour two on a Wednesday, Chuck Oliver Show. So you know what that means in hour one. It was Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. I invite you to go to Landry Football. You're only listening to the show because you dig football. And if you dig football, that's about the best thing going. There are a lot of other great sites out there. Dan, can I ask you a question? Because you follow the industry closer
please,
than I
please
do.
Please do, yes.
I have always enjoyed, like, SB Nation, their entire, you know, I mean, it's got 38 branches off the tree. I mean, so many different sites there. What is the general reputation of SB Nation? Because I hear different things from people like, oh, you read that? And I'm like, is it Barstool? Is it ESPN? Is it in the middle? Because I've always found it to be, like, pretty good high-level writing in certain sites.
I'm just going to be very honest. It's going to upset some people, but so be it. It is very opinionated, let me say.
Uh-huh.
And in some cases, very opinionated that only pertains to one particular group of people. And I feel like that's what kind of takes away from their work a little bit. I think they do great work.
Okay,
but
not for everybody.
It's not for everybody.
Okay, great. So like it's like Barstool. By the way, I'm one of the people that Barstool is not
sure.
For.
Yeah, I found out yesterday there was a word to describe Barstool. It's chuggy, which I did not necessarily know existed before, and I don't even know what the word means. But I in particular, am a fan of Barstool. I know it's not for everybody.
Okay, exactly. Same sort of thing. So I'm just wondering, because I was talking about different places I go and get my information, and honestly, after doing this for, you know, 20-plus years, some of the sites don't exist anymore. So many new ones pop up every single day. But I've got about four that I really kind of mine every single day, and Landry Football is always the first one. So I appreciate him coming on. We're going to have Jordan Hill's coming up in just about 10 minutes to talk Auburn football. AU blog beat writer, that's the Opelika Auburn News, which I'm an alumni of. Bottom of the hour, Bud Elliott, talking blue chip ratio. You know Bud, he is the creator of the Nolcast and the co-host with our good friend Ingram Smith. So we will talk to Bud about the blue chip ratio. That is out now, and I saw it yesterday. And I think that the numbers hold. There's usually like 12 or 13 teams that have at least 50% of the kids who are on scholarship or four-star or five-star recruits. And you don't win a national – I'm not saying you can't. I'm saying you don't win a national championship without being in the blue chip ratio. It hasn't happened. It's like there's a number that you have to go back. You got to go back, I don't know, like 35, 40 years to find the last time. Actually, you know what? No, it's got to be Georgia Tech, 30 years. You got to go back 30 years to find, I think it is the last time a national champion played in a stadium with fewer than like 60,000 seats. So if you expand your stadium, no, it doesn't mean you're going to win a national championship. It just means if you're playing in a 41,000-seat stadium or a 52, you're not winning. So there are things we can extrapolate out. And, again, that blue chip ratio is certainly one of the highlights. So many people look forward to it. All right, let me go ahead and get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football every single day. This is CFB 365, presented by Ecoderm. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now for your free sample of Ecoderm pain relief cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text ECODERM to 31996 now.
Yeah, I only got one story today, and it's kind of it's unsettling. But the headline is that Michigan alumni call on Attorney General to investigate how university dealt with abuse complaints. Three University of Michigan alumni and their attorneys have asked the state of Michigan Attorney General to open an investigation into how UM has handled it. A group of more than two dozen former athletes, students, supporters, etc., gathered across the street from the football stadium, had a press conference. Tad DeLuca was a wrestler on scholarship at Michigan. He wrote a letter to the university almost 3 years ago about the abuse he suffered from the team doctor there. And in just 3 years, from a guy who died 13 years ago, in just 3 years, more than 800 complaints have come in from former Michigan athletes, students, employees, a little something for everybody. For the former team doctor, Robert Anderson, 800. And Michigan has issued the right lip service and everything else and says they're taking it seriously. But that's not really satisfying the accusers right now. And so a lot of them are gathering and saying, you've got hundreds of people you can interview, Attorney General. Won't you start doing that? And we want to see how our alma mater is going to handle this. So that's the latest at Ann Arbor. And unfortunately, you can go ahead and wrap this up, David. Unfortunately, this is going to be like we're going to get – I've already had my fill of details. Dan, you good on all the details? Do you need any more?
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good. When Bo Schembechler's son is one of the accusers, like Jay Paterno was like, nothing to see here. Bo Schembechler's son's like, oh, yeah, there's a lot to see. Let me tell you what happened. So it's going to go down the Penn State path, which is – I've said Penn State's the only thing worse I've heard recently than Baylor. Because if nothing else, you can say at least there weren't kids. And so this is what you got at Michigan, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. So that's what one of the proudest university, great school, and one of the most accomplished football programs in the sports history is going to go through. And this is not going to end soon. Wasn't it a couple of weeks ago? Wasn't it? I gave the headline about, was it Gordon Spanier going to prison, the Penn State president? Folks, it's 2021. When did that Penn State thing break? 2011? November of 11? It's a decade later. I'm like, hey, we got another headline from the Penn State thing. I gave a headline from Baylor. Baylor's got to be like 6 or 7 years since that started. Michigan, you're not even to the forest yet. You haven't even officially started walking into – you see the trees, and they look big. Brother, you ain't even hit the tree line yet.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. And if we DeLorean back to like June a year ago, now, it was the buzz, the pandemic. Could have been any June. I think Alabama had three commits and were like the 57th highest ranked class in America. And Saban's like, what, recruiting? Oh, yeah, we'll get to it. We'll get it handled, I promise you. He didn't care. He didn't. I even heard Alabama fans are like, oh, my, we only have three recruits. It'll get fixed because it's June and you still got a lot of time. When you have on-campus events, it's unusual when at the end of the day or the weekend, you've got like nine kids who want to commit. But there is in-person, on-campus recruiting again. Right now, Auburn has three commits, and none of them have come since on-campus recruiting returned. And I got to be honest, if you're an Auburn fan, you look at this and you say, got a three-star kid from Auburn, a three-star kid from Opelika, and then a four-star quarterback who is a fun-looking prospect that Bobo and Harsin can't wait to get their hands on, I believe. But that's the entirety of the recruiting class right now, and there are Auburn fans going, but recruiting's back. Where are our commitments? Well, let's turn to an expert. I want to welcome on now, guy who pins the AU blog. It is Jordan Hill. Jordan, how are you, brother?
Doing great, Chuck. Just getting ready for the season before we know it's going to be here.
Yep, and AU blog, that is your source for Auburn University sports coverage. Opelika Auburn News, who I've told you before I am an alumni of. Jordan, talk to me about recruiting. The return to – I'm like, folks, you got another 7 months before, you know, the class closes, basically. But fans want responses. If you have a three-star local, and a quarterback, and that's the entirety of your class right now, talk to Auburn fans and tell them whether it's good or bad.
I think it's a good start. I think you got to keep in mind the circumstances. One, like you talked about, there was that dead period for 13 months where you couldn't have, you know, recruits on campus. And the big thing with all the Auburn coaches, I mean, Bruce Pearl's talk about it on the men's basketball side, they always sell the campus at Auburn, and that's how a lot of recruits really fall in love with the place, was, you know, walking around and really getting to take in the campus and really get that home feel. So I think that's a big part of it. I think another big part of it is a new coaching staff, you know, that, you know, Brian Harsin and these guys had not had a chance to talk to these recruits in person. Obviously, you had the FaceTime and you had phone calls, but it's just not going to be the same. And so I think this is going to be a really important weeks and months as far as Harsin and this staff really developing those connections, getting those guys on campus, getting to meet with these guys face-to-face. So I don't think there's any reason to panic right away because it's a new staff and there was really limited ability as far as getting to meet these kids. And also if you look across the board, you know, it's probably changed a little bit in the last week or so. But there's not been a ton of commitments across the board, especially compared to past years, because I think for a lot of these recruits, they're kind of saying, well, I've waited this long, you know, I might as well take three or four visits and, you know, weigh my options and then kind of decide, you know, what schools I really like or what school is right for me. So I don't think there's a reason for panic. I think you see the circumstances for why there's only three commits and two of them are local guys, like you said, and I'm talking to both of those guys, grew up Auburn fans. So, you know, when you get that opportunity, they're going to follow through on it and at the very least verbally commit and, you know, maybe look at a few other options. But I think those guys are probably pretty solidly on board. And then you've got the quarterback, Holden Gariner, like you mentioned, who seems to be a really high riser. I think since he committed to Auburn and Auburn kind of jumped on him early, I think more and more people have liked what they've seen from him. So I think it's a good start, but I think there's a lot of work to do. And I think by the end of this 2022 class, we'll probably get a good feel for how things are going for Brian Harsin and if he's going to be able to recruit the kind of guys that can keep Auburn in contention.
You know, I saw stories about who was visiting, and I'm just going to pick just a random example, and I don't even know if it's real, but like a three-star tight end from Spokane, Washington. And I was like, all right, well, Auburn fans were told that they're going to push the geographic borders of what they, you know, typically recruit. My question is, if there's a three-star tight end from Lynette or a three-star tight end from Beauregard, like, what's the three-star tight end from Pullman, Washington going to bring that you can't get in Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, et cetera? There has to be a bigger picture why they're bringing in kids that there is an equal or a like that is local.
Yeah, I agree. And I think really if both of these local kids we're talking about, you know, you mentioned Jarrell Stinson, he's from Opelika, Kyle Gordon, he's from Auburn. If you can get those guys to stick, that was kind of a big issue for Gus Malzahn the last few years. I mean, it had been 6 or 7 years since he had gotten anybody from Auburn High. And Auburn has had some really good recruits come
Sean
out
Evans.
The last few years.
And
yeah.
Who was it? Reuben Foster.
Yep. And Mahmoud Diabate, that's making plays right now down in Florida. So I think that you make a good point. I think that, and again, another guy, Christian Story, who is just really getting into the mix at Alabama, but he was Mr. Football in Alabama, and Auburn never even offered him. So, I mean, that was a guy Lynette. So I think that the staff understands, you know, Harsin said we need to recruit nationwide, and you understand that. But I think they really understand there's a lot of talent in East Alabama and even going into West Georgia. I think that they need to really recognize they can kind of pick and choose their battles as far as going nationally versus going in their backyard. Because a lot of these guys, you know, grew up Auburn fans, and if they're talented enough, which I think there are plenty of talented guys that could help Auburn out, just go in your backyard and pluck those guys and really fill your needs elsewhere.
All right, I want to ask you about two guys before I let you run today, specifically two linebackers, Zakobi McClain, and I'm going to tell me if you share this experience. Wow, he's way better than I ever thought he was going to be. And then Owen Popo, I look at him and I'm going, should be a little bit more this season than it's been the first. Like, I'm expecting there to be a next level for Owen Popo now. Give me your breakdown of McClain and Popo.
I agree. I think starting with Zakobi, you know, I think that was another really big find for Kevin Steele. I mean, for, you know, any faults and any issues that might have come with Kevin, he did a really good job of finding linebackers like Zakobi and before him, Deshaun Davis. But Zakobi played with his hair on fire last year. I mean, it was fun to watch because they were so limited at linebacker.
Yeah.
I mean, Zakobi and Owen, for the most part, didn't come off the field. And more often than not, if you look at those stat sheets, it was basically Zakobi and Owen trading, you know, the leading tackler game after game. And really, the defensive issues they had, I felt like, were really on the front last year compared to the linebackers. I thought they brought a ton of production. And the thing that's been really interesting to see from Zakobi this offseason is he has not forgotten that he was not included on the All-SEC list after he was tied for the nation lead in tackles and wound up not being named an All-SEC linebacker. So he's motivated. So I think that's going to be really fun to see. And really fun to see what he does in Derek Mason's defense because, you know, Owen had talked about it too, that there's a lot of really interesting fits that are coming with Mason's defense and that they are going to have the opportunity to make plays at linebacker. And to your point about Owen, I should say, you know, he came in as a really highly regarded linebacker. I think he's on the cusp of being an All-SEC guy. And he's been productive, but maybe not quite as productive as you would see a guy that was, you know, a five-star coming out of Georgia. But I think he has showed that he's capable. And I think him and Zakobi together, they have a chance to really stand out and to be, you know, maybe one of the top linebacking duos in the SEC this year.
All right, Elide, I want 30 seconds comment on Colby Wooden because I watched it. True freshman. I watched him, and after about a quarter, I was like, he's the one. Out of all the big recruits, because they've recruited the defensive line pretty good. Give me about 30 seconds on your opinion, Colby Wooden, because it literally took about 15 minutes, and I was like, he's the next one.
I think he's special. I think he showed last year, you know, with some a defensive line that had some injuries and kind of struggled around him. I think he showed you he's got a chance to be really special and to continue what we know is a really deep tradition of great defensive linemen out of Auburn. I think that he's got a chance. Him being coached by Nick Easton, who's a guy who played in the NFL for a while and won a Super Bowl and was really successful at Clemson. I'm really interested to see what he's able to do. And it looks like they're going to be playing him at defensive end. So I think if they can kind of get him to pin his ear back and you know, get after the quarterback, I think he's got a chance to do something really big. And I think he is one of those guys that, as far as the defense goes, may determine how this first defense under Derek Mason is able to play.
Read him at the OA News. Get him on Twitter at Jordan Davis Hill. We will do it again soon. Appreciate your time, man. Thank you.
Absolutely, Chuck. Appreciate it.
All right, again, Jordan Davis Hill at Twitter there. And you just see it sometimes. And I've talked about, like, with Courtney Upshaw. I remember, because you follow recruiting and you say, oh, they signed another four-star, and they signed another five-star, and they're just this collection of four-stars and five-stars. And then you actually watch them play, and there are times guys just – and I've told about Courtney Upshaw – I watched like five snaps, and I was like, he's the one. He's the next one. And at Alabama, that really means something. So you just see some guys, they've got it.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
One of the best things that the NFL did years and years ago is they started dropping events throughout the entire calendar year. So literally the NFL became a 12-month sport. Whether it was the combine at the end of February, whether it was free agency starting in March, whether it was the draft in April, mini camps in May, the June 1st, post June 1 cuts. Literally, they sat around in New York and said, how can we put stuff all throughout the calendar? I want to give our next guest credit. I know him because he hosts the Knollcast with our buddy Ingram Smith, and he does a tremendous job in recruiting. But he has populated our college football offseason with an event. It's the Blue Chip Ratio, the Blue Chip Index. I want to welcome on now from the Knollcast and 24/7 Sports, CBS, et cetera. It is Bud Elliott. Bud, brother, how you doing today?
Hello, how you doing?
Doing good. Tell everybody, first of all, I've explained it before, man, a lot of people know it, but get everybody a flyover of the Blue Chip Ratio.
Sure. So the blue chip ratio is just my really simple method of determining have you done a good enough job in recruiting a national title. It doesn't mean you will win a national title. There's a lot of other things that are important to winning a national title, but it is just my attempt to quantify if you have done the absolute bare minimum on the recruiting trail that it takes to win a national title. And I got lucky, like as I'm sure you know, if you come up with any kind of stats or cool little key soundbite, if you get a nice round number and it checks out, people like it, they remember it, they can use it, kind of track all year. And that's what I got when I back-tested this model about a decade ago. It's real simple. You just need to sign more 4- and 5-star prospects than you signed 2- and 3-star prospects over the previous 4 classes. That's what every national champion for the last decade plus has done. And it continues to hold true every year.
Yeah, and I was given a reference that I think like maybe Georgia Tech is the most recent national champion with a stadium with fewer than 50,000 seats in it. And I was like, all right, so expand your stadium so you can win a title. It's like, no, it's just an indicator of all national championship programs have. And that's what the blue chip ratio doesn't mean you can't win a national championship. But by golly, you are seriously swimming up some statistical stream there, because when you start looking at some of the just the gargantuan amount of talent that the teams on the left side of the blue chip ratio are, where the highest numbers are, walk through some of those programs and talk about the numbers they have, the percentage of their roster that's at least 4-star, 5-star kids.
Sure. So we've had, I think, 4 of the 5 scores ever, or the highest scores ever, have been in the last 2 years. Alabama this year is the highest ever. They're at 84%. If they didn't have to sign kickers and punters, Chuck, they'd probably be down near 90. But they do have to sign kickers and punters there in Tuscaloosa. So that's a pretty staggering number. Georgia is next, I believe, 80%. Ohio State, 79%. And then you have a little drop-off to Clemson at 67%, 69%, something like that this year. I don't have it all in front of me. I have most of it memorized. And Clemson, obviously, I think it's super impressive they do that, because we know that Clemson is kind of self-select a little bit for what's called character and fit a little more than some other schools might. And so I actually think Clemson was a little more liberal with who they let in and who they go after. They could probably be up in that damn near 80 range. So those are top schools there. And then it's quickly followed by Oklahoma, LSU, a couple schools like that there in that sort of 2/3 range. But look, we talk about the highest teams, and for good reason. But we've had teams in very recent memory that were at 51%, 52%. Clemson, when they had Deshaun. Jameis at Florida State. And we had a couple teams come damn near close to busting it as well. Oregon, I think, was in the low 40s when they had Marcus Mariota, and they almost got it over Ohio State. Ohio State didn't put them in the final. And then also Clemson, the year that Nick Saban on six, they were just shy of 50%, but they had Deshaun. They were trending in the right direction. They almost got me. Nick Saban came through, thanks for making it, and yeah, the chip ratio remains perfect.
Continuing with Bud Elliott again from 24/7 Sports, Nolcast, CBS Sports, etc. Talking blue chip ratio, and we're going to get Bud back on. Hopefully the line will pick up a little bit better. But one thing I'm going to ask him about is if you start looking, it is a measurement of the job you've been doing in the recruiting, but it also creates expectations. Again, blue chip ratio, teams who have signed more blue chip recruits than non over the last four classes. So your current rolling roster – and you look at, for instance, I'm going to give you the top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, the top eight: Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson, LSU, Oklahoma, Texas, Florida. Now, I don't know how relevant what Vince Young did out in Pasadena a decade and a half ago is. I don't know how relevant what, you know, Jason White in Oklahoma did almost two decades ago. But what I'm looking at the first column, the first eight teams, and Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson, LSU, Oklahoma, Texas, Florida. Everybody's got a national championship this century except Georgia. So it's great to be on the blue part of the blue chip ratio, but it also creates some expectations and questions from your fan base, doesn't it?
I think it does. I don't want to create, you know, unrealistic expectations. Only one team can win it, and we're all sort of operating in the Nick Saban era, where, you know, he's won about half the titles, yeah, right, since he started coaching there in Tuscaloosa. Ultimately, I said this on the Coverage podcast a couple months ago. Georgia kind of feels like the Dodgers to me, where if you follow baseball, you knew that Los Angeles was probably the best or second best team in a lot of the most recent years, and they just hadn't won it all. But if you consistently play at that top five level and you keep stacking talent, there is sort of an air of inevitability, I think, with Georgia. And the question will become, you know, A, did the changes they made on offense last year that were only partially installed, I would think, because of COVID, how much more can that progress? And then B, do they have quarterback figured out with JT Daniels? And if not, you know, maybe Brock Vandergriff or somebody else down the line will get it done. But Chuck, I'm not going to say it's hard to not win a national title if you have that much talent, but they have pretty ridiculous athletes all over the field, and you got to think eventually they get one.
A couple more minutes with Bud Elliott again from the Nolcast, CBS, 247, et cetera. I want to ask you about Mario Cristobal and the Oregon program, because, I mean, you follow recruiting. You do recruiting. Ain't no players in Oregon, okay? They're the only team on this entire list that I look at and go, you ain't got players in state. And Notre Dame's a little different because they're Notre Dame and everywhere. Talk about the job specifically, Oregon, Cristobal, that staff, how you get 56% of your roster to be blue chip, but you may go a year where the best recruit in the state, you got like 3-4 stars, and then you're down to 3 stars in Oregon.
So do you remember sort of when Urban Meyer came to the Big Ten, he really shook up how recruiting was done?
Yeah, he started taking recruits that were committed to Wisconsin and other places.
Yeah, I think some of Mario Cristobal's aggressive tactics are sort of doing that to the Pac-12 in some ways. I think they're really, really focused on recruiting there at Oregon. I know some guys on that staff, and they'll tell you, hey, man, I mean, just – Mario Cristobal finds a way to work recruiting into every possible meeting and conversation that we have, because he's convinced that you need to keep stocking your program with elite level talent. And let's be clear here, they have taken advantage of some programs, specifically USC and UCLA, being down in recruiting in recent years and maybe not maximizing their own resources in their own backyard. And Oregon did a really nice job in the state of California. They do have some broad national appeal. It is hard to get kids to go west of the Rocky Mountains if they're an East Coast kid, but it happens occasionally. And they've recruited aggressively in, you know, states like Nevada and Arizona as well, and they've done a good job. I don't know that they can go that much higher for the reasons I think you very adeptly pointed out there, but hell, that they're back up here is very impressive.
I want to ask you about a team that I would handicap this as the most likely team to fall off before next year's blue chip ratio, and that's going to be Auburn. I mean, there's just no way. They're at 56% right now, and first-year coach, blah, blah, blah. You know all the background. Give me a flyover of what you expect from Harsin and Auburn staff, just as far as recruiting goes, over the next couple of 3 years.
It'll be interesting for me to see how many high school players they want to take this year, and how many transfers they want to take. I do know there are some programs out there who are good programs who are going to go extremely heavy transfer portal this year, and they could be one of those. So I'm interested to see how that's going to work out for them. It's just not easy to hit the ground running and recruiting in the early signing period era, you know, because your first class is just so shorthanded. You only have 3-4 weeks to put it together at that. I mean, you used to have at least 12. But I agree with you that they will probably drop out, and it may take a year or two before they're back in. But you know, Auburn is fully committed. They have all the resources, and they should be a team that is consistently above the 50% ratio when they're doing well.
All right, last thing for you, and I'm just – I mean, I don't analyze the statistics the way you do at that level, but I'm looking at the blue-chip ratio, and I was talking before you came on. I said, most years it seems there's like 11, 12, 13 teams. There are 16 teams this year. Is there a general contraction of recruiting? More of the best players are going to the very few teams at the top of college football because you're getting more programs – getting into the blue chip ratio, which means there are fewer programs just getting maybe one or two of the blue chip players?
It's an interesting question, Chuck. So the baseline answer is yes. We are seeing a little bit of contraction as far as the number of teams who are signing a lot of elite players. But the other part in this is that the denominator, if you want to go back to like fourth grade math class here, so the number on the bottom of the division, what are you dividing by? That has actually decreased because in 2014 they passed those more stringent oversigning rules after what Ole Miss and Auburn, a couple of schools, signed like 37 kids. So now, like I only count scholarship signees for this. So if you signed a letter of intent, you count. Now the thing is, a lot you and I both know back in the day, schools would take four or five letters of intent and throw them out to kids who they knew had no chance of hell of getting into school, but they would waste one on them because they're going to send them to junior college and get them back. Now they can't do that. Now you can't sign 38 hoping the 25 qualify. Mm-hmm. And so we're dividing by a little smaller number. So that's why some of the percentages are increased. I thought about changing it up, right, and saying, hey, I should change the blue chip ratio to 60 or whatever. But look, Clemson, Florida State are basically in that range, and they were barely over 50%. So I'm glad I didn't change it. I'm glad I kept it at the 50. It's also a nice round number.
It is. And last thing for you, who is – because I'm sure you know this top of your mind. Give me a program that has fallen off maybe recently that you expect to bounce back either in 22, 23, et cetera, and show up on the blue chip ratio again.
Sure. So Washington, actually, if they sign JT Tuamalo, the five-star player out there in Washington, he's the last guy in 2021 who's a big-time fish who's not signed. If they manage to sign him over the July 4th weekend, which I think is when he's going to commit, then they would actually eke back up over the 50% mark. As far as other teams, I think North Carolina is probably two classes away. I think Florida State is probably two classes away. Nobody else is really close unless you think Tennessee is all of a sudden going to start recruiting well, which I have my doubts given the NCAA stuff. They recently fell off, but I think they're probably three classes away.
If you follow him on Twitter at BudElliott3, he's got a blue check, so it's going to be him. It is official. Also, 24/7, CBS, the Nolcast, all of it. Bud, appreciate your time, man. Thank you.
No doubt. Take care, Chuck.
All right, Bud Elliott again. Just always love catching up with him, especially this time of year. And so there's usually around, and it's only a few more teams added, and you're like, well, what do you mean contraction if there's 16 and you were only expecting, say, 12? Well, that's more teams. Mm. It's more of the blue chip recruits. I'm not talking all recruits. It's more of the 4-star and 5-star recruits who are actually going to fewer schools. Well, how would that result in more teams making the blue chip? Ever so often, do you know what you would see? And I mean like once every – no, actually, you would see it once every 10 years. Like the Houston Cougars would get a 5-star. They got Ed Oliver. About 6-7 years before that, maybe about 4 years, they got a kid, Deontay Greenberry. He's a 5-star receiver that was going to Notre Dame, decided, you know, I'm going to Houston. That doesn't happen anymore. Almost never. The biggest fish are getting more of the 4-star and 5-stars versus the one. There was a kid, if you go way back, I've told you all this, Ted Roof. When the head coach, been a defensive coordinator 10 places, went to the same high school. And I'm up at Duke visiting him when I was doing my little August, you know, tour. And so that's the one place where I was like, hey, I went to high school with a head coach. Let's, you know, so we went to lunch and we're talking. He's telling me about this defensive tackle he got. And you go back and look, and I mean, this guy was a monster, Vince Ogabasi. Duke in like 05, 06, they signed a defensive tackle, Vince Ogabasi. And he was from, I can't remember what his heritage was, but he was not, you know, he didn't grow up playing football as a three-year-old. But he's incredibly smart and very athletic. And he's like one of those 290-pound guys that can, you know, run sprints and dunk a basketball. And I said, Ted, how'd y'all get him? He's like, we shouldn't have. And I was like, I know. How did y'all get him? His final three were like Oklahoma, LSU, and Duke. And he chose Duke. He ain't choosing Duke anymore. That's just not happening. He's not choosing Duke. That's what I'm saying. See, if Duke got a five-star or a four-star, I think Ogabasi was a four-star, and he got hurt and he can never – he's like, Chuck, when he's on the field, he's a difference maker. Man, when he's out there, he just changes everything and it just permeates out from him. And he would stay hurt and just – so it was really, really tough on injuries. But anyway, so that's who the kid was. That's who the player was. And so if Duke doesn't get one four-star defensive tackle, that doesn't affect Duke's inclusion in the blue-chip ratio. It's the team that does get the five-star or four-star instead of Southern Miss, Tulane, Duke, etc. And who's getting the five-stars instead of the once every 5 or 10 years we get one? Who's getting them? They're not skipping Duke to go to Wake Forest. They're not skipping Houston to go to Tulsa. The four-star and five-star kids that once a decade would go to Duke, Houston, Tulsa, you know, whoever, they're going to Bama, Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson, LSU. Do you know another reason? But part of it, the reason you're not going to like Houston and Southern Miss? First it was the stipends. Now it's the name, image, and likeness. The more financial wedges you drive means there's a lot less of Ed Oliver going to Houston.
A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
To Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
If you don't have a standard philosophy of how you do things, then it changes every time you have a new staff. So now the kids that you recruited for the past 2 years, they're now not quite the fit of the guys that you want. All of that is what they were told in recruiting. Now is a little bit different, and sometimes it jives, sometimes it doesn't. You have to almost like re-recruit them over again.
Every Wednesday, hear that, man, Chris Landry, bottom of hour one. We take it all the way through the rest of the hour. And I was asking about the concept of the number one priority, as important an objective right now as any for a college coach or staff, is to reduce attrition. Because every time you have a player leave before he has exhausted his eligibility, what you don't have to replace him. You can play light. You don't want to. So you have to then go find somebody and either host a kid on campus or just email them. Like, who's the kid? Kane Madden was the lineman from the offensive lineman from Marshall who just transferred to Ohio State. If you make first team All-American, I'm just sending you an email. Are you healthy? Okay, great. Well, you have a scholarship at Oliver University. For most kids, it's a little more than that. And so you have to invest. You have to spend your time. And the more time you're – I got a kid to sign a scholarship and show up last August. He just left. I'm supposed to have 3 more years before I replace that scholarship. But I got to do it now. So I'm not watching film. I'm not evaluating other recruits. I've got to go replace scholarship 67. I only knew we were going to replace scholarships 74 through 85 because we had 11 leave. But I've got to go back and replace one of the ones that we should have coming back. It's a huge, huge deal. The less you recruit, the more you can coach. And you have to recruit all those spots of kids who leave the program. So attrition is a big – it's not – I'm not saying it's an issue or bad for the kids or take it away. I'm saying since it is a thing, you got to figure out how to do that thing. That is my closing argument brought by the law offices of Alexander Shinara and Associates. Anywhere you are in the Deep South, whether it's Georgia, Florida, Alabama, Tennessee, wherever, if you need legal expertise, you need Alexander Shinara and Associates. What's up, Dan?
Is it too late to remind you of your Mountain West?
Mountain West. So about 10 years ago, I got an email. I was talking bowl previews, and I got an email, and I still got it somewhere. I get a couple times during the season and then every December. I got basically the dossier the week before Championship Saturday. I was talking about different scenarios, and I got the dossier emailed to embargo, do not release, not for public. And the guy's like, yeah, listen to the show online, love it. From the Mountain West office sent me the bowl scenarios for all of their teams. And, like, this was the broken down strategy directly from the league office. I've gotten everything from the Mountain West over the last decade. Anything important coming out of the Mountain West? Now, again, how valuable is it? I like having it because you know what my attitude is? That's one conference down, nine to go. I need nine more. But for whatever's happening in the Mountain West, that's what it was. That was the source. It showed up out of the blue, and then still every so often when something happens, I get it. Now, it would be better if it was the SEC or the Big Ten or the ACC, et cetera. But I'll take it. There's really interesting stuff that shows up in my inbox every now and again.
Well, let that be a lesson for the kids too, you know, because you always listen in this industry of, you know, what can I learn? How can I get better? All these different things. The best advice I think I've ever gotten, Chuck, network, talk to as many people as you can and know as many people as you can. Because again, I like a line that I saw on Twitter today. Our good buddy, Josh Pate posted it of today's noisy neighbor upstairs is tomorrow's employer. So you just never know who's around the corner for you. Let that be a lesson, like I said. One thing that I really appreciated that Bud Elliott said, and again, if you haven't checked out the blue chip ratio story that he posted on 247sports.com, go do it, is exactly what I talked about earlier with Clay Helton. And also, too, with what Mario Cristobal is doing at Oregon, is those schools and even Arizona State, they even got in trouble for it. Recruiting matters. And I think that that's the permeating theme throughout that part of the country now is, hey, guess what? We got good football over here, too. We need to keep these guys from going out east. We need to keep the guys from we need to get the guys from east to come out to us.
Yeah, they did it with one of them. And they're trying to keep, again, the JT Tuimaloa. I didn't say that right. And again, as Bud said, still a five-star out there. And we've talked about him before. All right, wraps it up on a Wednesday, folks. Be back tomorrow. More college football conversation on the Chuck Oliver Show.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.